Well, I'm so pumped to be preaching today on my birthday, and I love communicating the Word of God. I love preaching the Word of God, and in the last, couple of weeks, I just really felt this calling specifically to preach just whatever the Lord puts on my heart. Normally, we'd be in a series. Normally, we would have kind of like a 3, 4-part, 8-part series. Even last year, we did, like, I think it was about 40 weeks in the book of Acts. You know, we just, depending on what the Lord would tell me. But just up until Easter, I really felt like the Lord said, hey, just prepare the word that I have for this week. And it just opened my Bible, listen to what God says, and speak that word. And so I don't have a fancy series for you today, but I do have a word from the Lord, and I hope that you're ready to receive it. Amen. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Father God, thankful for your presence. Thank you that you are forever Yahweh, this great I am, this God that lives within us, that speaks to us, that you want to mold us and shape us into your image every single day. Lord, I pray that as we look to your word, that it would mold us and that it would change us into just a little bit more like your son Jesus. So Lord, I pray you open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive the word of the Lord. It's your name we pray. Somebody shout amen today. Come on. Well, I actually have another fishing story for you guys, okay? Because last week we talked about this passage where Jesus calls Peter to follow him. And we talked about those two famous words he said. He said, follow me. Somebody say, follow me. Follow me. And man, it was a great time last week, and man, we saw so many people say yes to Jesus, and it never gets old seeing people say yes to Jesus. And I felt like the Lord told me just to continue in this passage, and there was more actually to pull out of this story. And you know, I love fishing. I don't get to do a whole lot of it much anymore, but I do remember fishing with my grandpa growing up. It was one of my favorite memories, you know, being a 4 and 5 and 6 year old and catching my very first fish. We actually have videos, some old school family videos. Come on now, like not shot on an iPhone. Like we're talking about shot on that camcorder. You know what I'm saying? We got them old family videos and of me catching my first fish and my brother being there, my grandpa, some great memories. But you know, we got any fishermen in the house today? Anybody love to fish? Okay. We got a few. All right. Sounds good. But hey, here's the deal. Anytime that you go fishing, you know, and you tell a fishing story, the fish gets a little bit bigger every time. You know what I mean? Like you caught that fish and it was like right here, you know, it's about yay. But then you tell a story the next time and it's like, you know, it was about right here. And then by the 8th or 9th time you tell this story, you're like, yo, I caught this fish. It was like this big, bro. It was wild, man. It was crazy. Biggest fish I've ever caught in my life. Bro, stop. It was right here. Okay. But man, it was one of my favorite memories going fishing, and I love to do it when I can. And so we're going to talk about this idea. You know, Jesus said, follow me. That's what we talked about last week, but what was the second half of that? He said, and I will make you a what? A fisher of men. I'll make you a fisher of men. And so I'm going to read this passage to you again. It's in Luke chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, asked him to put out a little from shore, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Any of y'all argue with God before? It don't go so well. Not a good strategy. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Your translation might say, you will fish for men, right? And they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So Jesus said, you're going to be a fisher of men. Well, what does that mean exactly? Like, what does that mean? You know, Peter, he was pretty good at catching fish. He had done this for a long time. And what do we see from this story is that it wasn't just Peter going out in his boat by himself to catch some fish, but he actually had built a business as a fisherman. It was him and his buddy, and he had a couple other buddies in another boat as well. And so he had some business partners, as it even says in the story here, has these partners, and they're all really good at catching fish. But Jesus says, you know what? Instead of going after fish now, you're going to go after people. You know how to catch fish really well, but I'm going to teach you how to catch people. I'm going to teach you how to have a faith in me that is captivating and so captivating. I mean, you're going to have this fire within you to go tell other people about it. And I'm going to teach you how to win people over to the kingdom of God. I'm going to teach you how to share your faith. And like we have our mission here at Radical Church is to help everyone experience the radical love of Jesus. And this is what he is trying to help Peter learn how to do. Now, Peter isn't the only one that's called to be a fisher of men though, is he, right? We know that today, every person that believes in Jesus, man, we are all called to be a fisher of men. Somebody say, I'm called. I'm called. You're called to be a fisher of men. But how do I do that? Like what? It's not a phrase that you use quite often, right? We're not talking about in the regular world, yeah, I'm just a fisher of men, you know? Like that's, what does that mean exactly? Like, that's kind of a weird phrase. Like that wouldn't be something you should probably say to somebody that's not a believer. They wouldn't know what that means. And so what if you don't know anything about fishing? Well, then let me tell you a little bit about fishing today. The title of the message is Three Ways to Fish. Three ways to fish. If you're taking notes, write this down. And we're going to talk about the first way that you can fish. The first way is fishing with a net. Fishing with a net. This is the kind of fishing that we see Peter doing when Jesus actually calls him to be a fisher of men. And the way that they would do this is that they would, there was multiple ways that you could fish with nets, especially in ancient times. It's interesting though, because the strategy of fishing with nets really has not changed very much over thousands of years. The only thing that's changed about it is just the materials that they use to make the nets out of. But the nets basically look the same. It's all the same. And how many of y'all know that the word of God is the same, right? Yesterday, today, and forever, that God is the same. We just sang it yesterday, today, and forever, that the gospel is the same. And so we see this here, and the strategy would be they would take this net, and they would have two boats. You see it even in the story, that there's two boats, not just one. And so they would put the net in between the two boats. At the bottom of the net were weights, and it would drag it down to the bottom. At the top of the net, obviously, you'd probably have to have some buoys that would hold the net at the very top of the water. And so then they would take these two boats, and they would just go across the water, and they would catch all of the fish in between the two boats. And so when Jesus says, hey, you got to drop the nets out, they throw the nets out, and there's two boats there, and they're going through, and they're catching all these fish. And they catch so many of the fish that it says he has to call his partners, his business partners from the other boat, and they have to come into the same boat actually to pull up the catch because there were so many fish that they had to abandon their other boat just to get them all in. And then they filled up both boats. And there was another way that you could fish with nets too. This is just one individual. And you would go out more on the shoreline and toss it out, and then you'd bring it back in. But Jesus has them out in deep water, and they're tracking along and trying to get as many fish as they can. And they would get truly dozens, if not hundreds, of fish that would be swept up into these nets as the net is going along. All different kinds of fish. The idea is just to get as many as you can, right? And then you actually would sort through them later because you'll get this thing called bycatch. Bycatch is, hey, there might be some fish that we actually don't need. We're trying to get this certain type of fish right now. But you would go through and get as many as you can. What Jesus is saying initially, when he's saying, hey, I'm going to have you be a fisher of men. He's saying, this is really the kind of fishing that you're going to do a lot of, Peter. I'm not going to give you a physical net, but I'm going to give you a net. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to give you a net, Peter. but it's gonna be a different kind of net. I'm gonna give you a gospel. I'm gonna give you some good news. I'm gonna give you something that you can actually use to sweep across the world and catch as many people and bring them into the kingdom of God as you can. This net is gonna reach far. This net is gonna reach wide. You're gonna sweep so many people into the kingdom of God. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the very first message that was ever preached after Jesus left was by Peter. Check this out, right? We know in Acts chapter 2, Jesus is gone now. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in power. And he gets out, is walking around, and there's 120 people speaking in tongues. It's crazy, it's wild. The building was shaking. They go outside, and then there's a bunch of people there. And it says, Peter just starts spitting a fire word, y'all. This dude preaches the best message that has ever been preached. And it says 3,000 people got saved in that one message. Isn't that incredible? 3,000 people, all right? And I just believe that Peter in that moment, he brought his net that day, didn't he? Come on now. He brought his net, and anybody that was willing to listen, man, he preached the word of God faithfully. He preached it boldly in that moment, and 3,000 people were swept up into the nets, baptized into the kingdom of God in that one moment. Come on, that's incredible. And this net represents the church. The church is a wide net, right? Man, anybody can come into the church. Anybody that walks through these doors is welcome at Radical Church. Come on, you believe? Put your hands together if you want to welcome somebody into the house of God today. Man, I don't care what your story is. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what your background is today, but you are welcome here at Radical Church. Amen. We want you to experience the love of God the same way I've experienced it, the same way that many of us have experienced it. Man, I don't care what kind of fish you are. There might be one fish, two fish. You might be red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? Old fish, young fish, you know, let's get the book and we'll just wrap it right here, right now. Here we go. But listen, there's something powerful about getting a group of people together in the same place, in one room, praising God in unity. And the word says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also. So when we gather in this place and we worship and we lift up some praise to God, it says that he actually will meet us here in this room. We're going up to God, but he's meeting us down in this place as well. It's powerful. This is the net. This is the church. God shows up. And this is the kind of fishing that I get to do a whole lot of. Praise God for it. I love it. It's the preaching of God's word. It's the preaching of the gospel. You see, Peter, he does that kind of fishing with his net when he preaches and 3,000 people get saved that day. And you know, it's whether it's on a Sunday morning, could be at a youth camp, could be at a women's night or a men's night. And we invite people to church to hear the message of Jesus. And we have caught some fish in these last 4 years, haven't we? Come on now. We've seen some people say yes to Jesus. In fact, just last year, we had over 300 people that said yes to Jesus and that were added into the kingdom of God just in 1 year. Come on, we can give God praise for that. That's good stuff. Just last week, we had over 40 people that raised their hand and said, you know what? I want to commit my life to Jesus. Just last week alone, 40 people saying yes to Jesus. Come on, that's incredible. God's doing good things. And listen, Peter, man, he preached and 3,000 people got saved in one day. Now, I ain't ever preached a message where 3,000 people got saved. You know, it took me 52 messages to get 300 last year. I probably need to preach a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. But I believe that there's going to be one day in the history of Radical Church, I'm telling you right now, I see it already, where we will have 3,000 people get saved in one day. You best believe that we have some vision for people to be saved, healed, delivered, and set free by the power of Jesus. It might not be right now, but there will be a day in Radical Church's history where we will see 3,000 people saved. It's non-negotiable. Like, I know it. And I'm telling you, it's because God wants to bring revival to this area. He wants to bring revival to Hays County, to Kyle, Texas, to Buter, to San Marcos. And I'm telling you, Radical Church is going to be right at the heart of it. You're going to be a part of it. And so how can you fish with the net then? Like, maybe you're called to preach like Peter. Pastor Rachel preached an incredible word a few weeks ago about being called into ministry. But what was her final point there is that at the end of the day, all of us are called. Like, you might not be called to preach. That's going to be, just be real, that's going to be a few of you. Not everybody is called to preach the same way that I am right now. But more than likely, what are we all called to do, and that is to support the church. Jesus said he wanted to build the church. So if Jesus wants to build something, man, I want to build it with him, right? I want to build the thing that he said he wants to build. And so we're all called to support the church, to lift up the church. And man, every time you invite somebody into the house of God, every time you invite somebody to the church, what are you doing? You're inviting them into the net. Come on now. You're inviting a fish into the net. You're helping to catch somebody else for Jesus. And man, if every single person invited one more person to church, our nets would be breaking every single Sunday. You already see how full this room is. Now imagine if every one of y'all invited one more person. We wouldn't even have enough room to contain them, just like the boats. We'd have to have some help. Hey, come on, we got to pull some more chairs in. We got to get the couches from the office. Bring them in. You know, here we go. We've done it before. We'll do it again. Listen, if everybody invited somebody into the house of God, into the nets, oh man, what could God do? I'm just a firm, I have a firm belief that it's a responsibility of every believer to share the message of Jesus, to share what he has done within you. Man, do not let Jesus be the best kept secret. Oh, that's not what we want. We want to share the love of Jesus with everybody around us. Man, invite somebody to church. Share your testimony. What does the word say? That there is power in the blood of the Lamb and in the word of the testimony. And if your testimony, what has God done in you? Share that with somebody. Don't let it be a secret. Serve on Sundays on the RAD team. Be a part of the miracle. I mean, I say that we had 40 people last week giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. Every single one of you that invites somebody to church, every single one of you that serves on the RAD team, that holds a baby, that is out in a parking lot, that's making coffee for somebody, that's helping people find a seat, every single one of you is a part of that miracle. You're all a part of it. Every single one of you that worships in spirit and in truth, and man, you're all here, even if you're just here with your family and you brought your kids to church that day, man, you're a part of it. And I'm so grateful for you. Listen, every person that walks through that door, I want us to understand it's a miracle when they give their lives to Jesus. It's the greatest miracle that you will ever witness. You can't ever let that, you can't ever get used to that. Don't ever get used to that feeling when somebody raises their hand in the row next to you and you see them give their life to Jesus. Every time you see that, I want you to remember the time that you gave your life to Jesus and how important it was for you. Take that same mentality and say, you know what? That's happening in them right now, man. Praise God for that. What a miracle. So that's the first way we fish. That's with a net. Second way is fishing with a rod. Fishing with a rod. Now, it's a little different than fishing with a net because you're not going after a large group of fish anymore. You're going after a smaller group of fish that are very close by. It's a circle of fish. Maybe you might be fishing on one side of the pond. I'm fishing on another side of the pond. You might be fishing in a river down the road. I might be fishing in a lake that's over here on the other side of the highway. We're all fishing in different areas. And this is it's a small area that you're trying to catch some fish in. Now, I did a lot of fishing when I was younger. And there was a time I was about 14, 15 years old. And it was about midnight, okay? I was out camping with one of my buddies and my dad. It was just, hey, we wanted to go out on a trip. Let's go fishing together and have a good time. It's midnight, okay? And we go out on this pier. Just me and my friend, my dad's back at the camp. And we go out on this pier. We look out over the edge and we see that there is like 30 catfish swimming around all over the place. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. They're all just right. There's this light shining down from the pier and we can see all of them right there in the water. What do you think my buddy and I do? We're like, we've hit the jackpot. This is it. Here we go. You know, like, let's get all these catfish. And so we cast our rods in. Literally, we didn't even cast. It was more of like a drop, you know, like we just kind of like loosened it up and let our rod go straight down. And then we have our bait down in there. And then we're looking down and we're waiting and we're like, yeah, all right. What's happening? Why are they not biting? Like, what in the world is going on? And they are circling all around it. These catfish, they ain't interested at all. In fact, it actually felt like that they were just going around it. Like they just made an even bigger circle around where our actual rods were put in the water. We're like, what is going on right now? Like, why are they not taking this bait? It's right in front of them. And so me and my 15-year-old self, I didn't know a whole lot about fishing at the time. And so my dad finally comes up. Hey guys, what are y'all doing? We're trying to catch these dumb catfish, but they ain't even taking the bait. Like, what is wrong with these catfish? And they said, guys, you're using the wrong bait. Like, they're not gonna bite this. They don't this isn't the right kind of bait for this kind of fish. They're not going to take this. And if you're fishing with the wrong bait, you're never going to catch any fish. But if you switch to the right bait, you'll catch a ton. The question I have is, what kind of bait are you fishing with, y'all? What kind of bait are you fishing with? What are you casting out into the water? I want to suggest that the bait that we fish with is actually our lives. It's your life. That is what you're throwing out into the water. And the small group of fish is your circle of influence, right? Like, you're going to fish in one area. I'm fishing in another area. We can't all be fishing in the same pond, right? We got to spread the love a little bit. There's all kinds of fish out in the seas and the ponds and the lakes that we got to fish for. And you might not have the opportunity to preach like I do in front of a large group of people and cast my nets really, really wide like this. But every single one of you has a circle of people in your life. That's family, that's friends, that's coworkers, that's people in your life. There's a pond that God has put you in charge of fishing. And what are you casting into the water? When you cast your life into the water, is your life catching people for Jesus? Or are the fish that you're around not seeing anything special about it? Are they not seeing really anything special about the bait that you're putting in there? Do they see anything special about your life? Because just like last week, I asked this question, and I want to ask it again. If you told your coworkers that you were a Christian, would they be surprised? Would they not even know? Does your life look just like theirs? Or does your life look different? Does your life look attractive? Listen, I'm telling you, the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So if they're tasting the bait, but they're nibbling on it, but then they're not getting hooked, then the bait probably isn't the Lord. What does your life look like? Is your life set apart? Is it different? Can they tell that there's something different? What are you offering? The Bible says that we got to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, man. I'm putting myself on the hook. I'm putting my life on there, and I'm throwing it out there. I'm casting it out into the water. You are the bait, and God wants to use you to catch people for the kingdom of God. Amen? Just like Isaiah said, here am I, God. Send me. I'm going to say, here am I, God. Cast me out. Throw me out into the water. Let my life be something that's attractive, that's different. I want to represent Jesus well. I want to show that, man, there's something that I have that you need. There's a spirit about me. There's a spirit about you that's different. Like, if we don't look any different, why would they be taking the bait? We got to be different. We got to be set apart. Man, there is hope in Jesus that you have that the world doesn't have. There is peace that you have that the world doesn't have. Listen, but if your life doesn't match the life of Jesus, if your life isn't the right bait, you're never going to catch anybody. You're not going to catch them. So you change the bait, you catch the fish, right? So what's the number one reason, though, that people don't like rod fishing, like with the rod and a reel? What's the number one reason why? Because it takes forever. It takes forever, man. Oh my gosh. You mean I just have to sit out here for hours? It's hot out here. We live in Texas. It's Central Texas. It's 98 degrees right now. You mean to tell me I just got to sit here and do nothing for this? And do like, Dad, you know, this is my son. I'm going to be Oakland here for a second. My 6-year-old, Dad, just got to sit here. Yeah, I don't do nothing. I'm bored, Dad. I'm just bored. Every kid is bored. I'm bored, Dad. All the kids are bored nowadays. You know what I'm saying? It's so hilarious, though. The other day, man, they all want to sit inside and play them video games. But the other day, Lindsay took Oakland and Tegan outside, our 6-year-old and 2-year-old. They were outside, and she told me they were outside for 5 hours, just outside for 5 hours. And it's never been done before anyway. And so I get home, and then Oakland says, Dad, it's crazy. We were outside like all day today. And I was like, really? That's awesome, buddy. He's like, you know what? Actually, like, I didn't think it would be fun, but like being outside is kind of fun. It's like, really? Who would have thought, you know, going outside and running around and playing would be fun. Oh my goodness. Anyway, these kids, right? And when you fish with nets, there's an immediate satisfaction of fishing with nets. Why? Because you catch a bunch of fish, right? It's easy. You catch a whole bunch of them really, really quickly. You're going after the fish. But rod fishing, rod and reel is a little different. The fish actually are coming to you, right? So it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of patience. You kind of just sit there. You put your bait out into the water, and you wait. But what happens after a while of nothing and of being bored and of not catching anything? And what happens? Most of the time, people get impatient. They reel it in, pack it up, and go home, right? But if you had just cast one more time, if you had just cast again, maybe that might be the time when you catch that huge bass that you've been trying to catch, right? That might be the one time when you cast that rod and reel one more time. If you had been patient, the fish would eventually have come. You just needed to cast again. And I just feel like today, when it comes to sharing your faith, some of y'all might need to just cast again. Amen? You need to cast again. You need to go try again. You might have some people in your life that you have invited to church, and it seems like that they never want to come and they are never going to show up. Man, cast again. There's some people in your life that you've said, man, I've shared my faith, but they're just not listening. It just feels like I'm talking to a brick wall and I'm not getting anywhere with them. Man, cast again. Maybe that one extra time of putting your life out on the line might be the time where they say, yes, man, you've tried to be a good example. But it feels like everything you're doing is just in vain. I want to encourage somebody to cast again. Don't get discouraged. Don't get impatient. Why? Because the Word of God says that the Word will never return void. You know what that means? If you put the Word of God on that line and you cast the Word of God out, you cast your life out, you cast Jesus. Am I representing Jesus well enough that when I put my life on the line, I'm putting Jesus out there, I'm putting the Word of God out there, it will not return void. You will catch some fish. Amen? You're going to catch somebody for Jesus. You're going to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. So cast again and then wait on the Lord. Sit there, wait, be patient, reel it back in, cast it again, and God will draw people up out of the water the same way that we're baptizing people next Sunday. Let me tell you, they go from death to life. Man, you will actually be the one to reach down in and pull that fish up out of the water. Come on, you're pulling somebody up out of the water from death to life, from the grave to a new life. Come on, the old has gone, the new has come. Come on, does anybody want to be catching some fish for Jesus today? You got to cast again. The last way you can fish today is fishing with a spear. Oh my goodness. You got some nets, you got a rod. But there's some times when you got to get specific. A net isn't going to do it. A rod isn't going to do it. You've got to bring out the spear. Now, has anybody been spear fishing before? I got to ask. I'm going to ask in every service. Really, John, you've been spear fishing? That's because you're awesome. That's so cool. I got to hang out with you more, man. That's so cool. There's a couple different ways that you can do it, though. In the ancient times, I mean, we're talking about like a spear, right? They would just take a spear, throw it in the water. It's wild. Even to this day, people do it like that, and it's so cool to watch. But actually, they have a more advanced version now where you actually are in the water, you're underwater, and it's more like a gun that you shoot the spear out. It's really, really cool. But it's the most precise type of fishing because now you're not like the nets. You're not going after a large group of fish, and it's not like the rod where you're going after a small group of fish. Now you're just trying to catch one fish, right? I'm not waiting for a random fish to bite. I'm not just in a certain area, but I'm specifically going after one fish. And this reminds me of Jesus coming up to Saul. Saul was actually on the road to kill Christians in Damascus. He was on the road to kill the very people that Jesus died to save. And then Jesus shows up in a flash of light, and boom, in one moment, his life was forever changed. Saul was not looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for Saul. Saul was not interested in God. God was very interested in him, though, right? And I think many times God calls us to reach out to a specific person And he wants us to take our spear and to actually just put it right through the heart of one individual and be like, listen, God is looking at you right now, but we want to use our nets and our rod and reel. Well, I could just invite them to church. And then, you know, Pastor Trevor can use his net. And then he'll take care of it. Pastor Trevor, he'll preach, man. And he'll get them saved. Watch. I could just be a good example and just kind of keep living my life, you know, well. And I'll use my rod and my reel. And maybe, hopefully, one day, they'll bite. And, you know, maybe they'll ask me about my faith one day. That's not what God asked you to do. He asked you to pick up your spear. He asked you to be bold. He asked you to go after that individual, and you're actually copping out by saying, oh, I'll use these other two methods. That's not what God asked you to do. He put somebody on your heart specifically, and he said, you go after him. You reach out. And man, this is exactly how Jesus goes after Peter. Man, he preached to the crowd that day. You see this in the story, that the boat was actually just barely off of the shore, right? It was barely off, and he's standing. It's very similar to right here. Pretend I'm in the water, you guys are on the shore. It looked very much like this. Jesus preaches to the crowd, right? But then there comes a time after he preaches to everybody, he says, hey, Peter, let's take this boat, let's get these boats out farther out. And then he does this miracle where they catch all this fish. And just like we talked about last week, there's a time when Jesus is looking over the crowd, but then there comes a time when he turns and he looks right at somebody and he looks right at you. And he says, hey, you, why don't you follow me? Hey, Katie, why don't you follow me? Rachel, why don't you follow me? Miss Becky, holding my daughter on the second row. Why don't you follow me? Tegan, why don't you follow me, honey? Right? He'll look right at the individual. Jesus is always preaching to the crowds. He's got love for the crowds. But he's always thinking about the one. Oh, he'll leave the 99 to find the one, won't he? Come on now. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to pick up a spear? See, I'm not going to rely on the church. I'm not going to rely on Pastor Trevor. I'm not just going to rely on living my life in a good way and being a good example and hoping that people come ask me. But am I going to be bold and step out and actually go after somebody for Jesus, you know? Man, he always has the one in mind. Sometimes he's going to ask you to be bold. There's nothing more bold than taking a spear and taking that one shot, right? Who's your one? This is something I tell our staff and our rad team all the time. We talk about this constantly. Who's your one? When we come into church on a Sunday morning, who is the one person that maybe God has called you to reach out to? You see that person that walks through the doors and they're obviously lost and they're obviously new, right? And you kind of feel like, oh, maybe I could go talk to them and encourage them and help them, show them around. And then we kind of just, you know, somebody else will take care of that, right? Pastor Trevor will use the nets, right? Whew. But the Holy Spirit told you to go talk to them, right? At your workplace, at your school, in your family. Who's God calling you to reach out to? And so, who's your one? Well, we talk about this all the time, but we have to make room for the one. Yeah? And this year, we want to make room for the one person to come. We want to make room for you to actually go out and invite somebody into the house of God. And, you know, every Easter that we talk about, there's always people that'll come to Easter that wouldn't come any other time of year. They're called the CEOs, right? Christmas, Easter, only Christians, okay? It is what it is, all right? But, you know, hey, I got love for them, you know? Because at the end of the day, we could do all the marketing in the world to get people to come to church, right? We could put out a great graphic. We could put out an opportunity if you're people to come. And, you know, I could put out a video and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know what's the best way for somebody to come into the house of God? Is an individual. It's you texting them, calling them, seeing them at work, and seeing them at class, inviting them, saying, hey, you know what? Will you come and sit with me? I'll go to whatever service that you want to go to. I don't even care. I normally come to the second. I'll go to the last one. I don't even care. I just want you to come. And so we want to make room for the one this year, for you to invite somebody into a relationship with Jesus and for you to use that spear, right? And so This year, we're not just doing Easter Sunday. Man, we got Easter weekend coming up. Go ahead and put it up. We have 6 services for Easter. I'm going to go ahead and announce this to you. Come on. We got Saturday, April 19th. We're going to do a 4 and a 6 p.m. service. And Sunday, April 20th, our 4 regular service times. Listen, we have got to make room for the one. Amen? I'm going to make sure you have every opportunity to say yes when Jesus calls you to invite somebody. I want to make sure they got a seat. I want to make sure their kid has a place to go. And I want to make sure that we got rad team that's ready to welcome every single one of those people that you have been called to invest in. You've been called to put your life out into the water. You've been called to take that spear and to be bold to ask them if they would want to come to church. Listen, I want you to start thinking today about who am I going to invite? Easter's about a month out, all right? And I just want you to take a second and consider, Holy Spirit, ask. Holy Spirit, who are you asking me to invite to church? Who are you asking me to reach out to? How can I be a fisher of men, a fisher of women, a fisher of souls? What family member should I invite? What coworker should I invite? Ask yourself that question, because it's not just Peter that was called to do it. It's every single one of us. And just like Jesus showed up to Saul and interrupted his life, he was not looking for Jesus. And some people in your life, they might not be looking for Jesus, but he's looking for them. Oh man, they're not looking for God. They're not interested in God at all. And they've made it very clear they're not interested in God at all, but God's interested in them. And I'm just believing that maybe, just maybe, you know, Saul or Peter, he preached, 3,000 people got saved. Now, 3,000 people ain't getting saved. Okay, we'd have to have 62 services for 3,000 people to get saved here at Radical Church. This building ain't that big, all right? But listen, how many people could be saved on Easter Sunday? How many people could hear a message of a risen Savior, of a God who loves them, of a peace that they could have in the midst of the chaos in their life? How many people? I just want to build some faith in the room for a second, right? Like, what could God really do if all of us played our part and started casting our lives out there, started putting the word of God out there, started inviting somebody to church, man? What could God do, right? And I just believe that so many people are going to get saved. So many people are going to give their lives to Jesus. And you know what? It's not just going to be because of me. It's not because of what I do. It's not because of a great marketing campaign. It's not because of anything. You know what it is? It's because Jesus is interested in the individual, and he puts somebody on your heart, and you text them, and you reach out to them, and you get to be a part of the miracle. Just like Isaiah, here am I, God, send me. I want somebody in this place today to have this heart and say, you know what? Here am I, God, use me. I'm going to be a fisherman. I'm going to be a fisherman today. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray that all of us would have the heart of a fisherman. And I want to encourage you to go ahead and just pray, even in this moment, asking the Lord, God, how can I be a part of helping one more person find Jesus? The same hope that I have, the same peace that I have. I don't want to keep you a secret. Come on, would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Father God, I'm so thankful that you're in this place, Lord. Help us to not keep your message, your gospel, your good news to ourselves, Lord Jesus. What a shame it would be if we have the best story that's ever been told and we don't want to tell it again. We don't want to retell it, but we just want to hold on to it. God, I pray right now, there's people in this room that they have one person on their heart that you've called them to be bold to reach out to. God, I pray that they would already start to think of how they're going to have this conversation. Holy Spirit, that you would lead them in that conversation, that you would lead them, give them the words to speak. It's not going to come from them. It's going to come straight from you, God. Give them some boldness, Lord Jesus. Give them some faith. And that there's some people even in here that they've been casting their rods, but they've actually just pulled it back in. They've reeled it back in and they've packed up and they're about to go home. But God, right now you're saying, hey, why don't you cast again? Why don't you put your life out there one more time? Why don't you reach out one more time? And then, Lord, I pray as we gather together, in this place, six services over Easter weekend, I pray, Lord, that we would catch so many fish that the nets would be breaking, Lord Jesus. We wouldn't even know how to contain it. God, we'd be bringing the couches in. We'd be bringing some extra chairs in. People are standing at the back. Why? Because, God, it's because of the people that are here right now that are saying yes to the call of the one. And Lord, I pray that you put that on our hearts, God. And that the harvest, you said it, Lord, harvest is plenty. But the laborers are few. Oh, let that not be the case at Radical Church. We're going to send out fishermen into the world. We're going to send out fishermen from this day forward. God, we pray that you would do a miraculous work on Easter weekend. And Lord, let us be a part of the miracle of people saying yes to you. We love you and we praise you. In your holy name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen today. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Hey, let's put that graphic back up on the screen if you can. We got six Easter services, and it's live right now, okay? We're asking that every single one of you would actually go ahead and sign up for the service that you want to attend. We're obviously expecting a full house. That's why we're having six services, okay? And so we want you to go ahead and sign up for a service. If you're not sure yet which one, maybe that one is gonna want to come to, go ahead and sign up for one. And if they say, hey, you ask them, hey, which service would you want to come to? What would be best for you and your family? And they say, oh, Saturday at 4 o'clock would be great. You just go and cancel it. And then you sign up for the Saturday at 4 o'clock and you come and you sit with them and just believe that God's gonna do something in their heart. Amen. Hey, we love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you.